Knobler for his latest release, Good to Be Here. As Philip Michael Scales puts it, I wouldn't say that I've arrived, but it's good to be here. More information about Philip Michael Scales' Dive Bar Soul can be found at croonersmn.com.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue presenting Cuckoo Wednesday, October 22nd. Cuckoo returns to the First Avenue stage with his latest release, Brighton.
It's an album that mixes Latina boleros and música romántica to pay homage to the brown-eyed soul that reflects Cuckoo's Chicano roots.
More information about Cuckoo at First Avenue is available at first-avenue.com.
Support for KFAI comes from the Dakota, presenting Florida Toloache, Tuesday, October 28th.
New York's first all-female mariachi band fuses traditional rancheras with reggae, bachata, cumbia, rhythm and blues, jazz, flamenco, and pop to expand and revolutionize the idea of what mariachi music is and what it can be.
More information about Florida Toloache at the Dakota can be found at dakotacooks.com.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Lately, there's always paintings going on. Every day, I feel like I need to do some type of watercolor painting because it is so relaxing. You know, it just makes me feel complete for that day. I'm like, I got to create something. So every time I do a painting or paint with watercolor, it just makes me feel really great.
Bonjour, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem. Miigwech for joining me. Native Lights is more than a podcast and radio show. At its core, it's a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Each and every week, we have great conversations with wonderful guests from a bunch of different backgrounds. Musicians, healthcare advocates, community leaders, artists, language warriors, you name it. They have a wonderful mix of passions, so we talk with them about their gifts and how they share those gifts with their community. And it all centers around the big point of purpose in our lives. So it's another day, another week, another opportunity to amplify Native voices. And I'm really excited to share with you my conversation today with Wo Kie Win. Wo Kie Win is a Dakota language teacher for the Dakota Language Nest Preschool Program at the Institute of Child Development, and that's on the U of M campus. And her passion is to speak Dakota at school and at home. She and her husband have 5 kids together, and he's also a language revitalizer. Wo Kie is also an artist, and she listens to a bunch of audiobooks, so we get along great. But I'm really excited to share this conversation with you because she's got some new work coming up, and I'll try not to give it away too much up top, but she makes her own watercolors. How cool is that? So please enjoy my conversation with Wo Kie Win.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. Cool. Well, I'm super excited to chat. Can you please introduce yourself and tell me where you're joining me from?
Biomak Biwahi. I'm so happy to be here. I'm honored. My English name is Katie Bendixson, and my Dakota name is Wo'okiawi. And I am joining you guys from my home in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Wonderful. And how are you and how is your family?
Well, I'm doing great, keeping busy, and the family's doing good. My husband and I, we have 5 children together. We're a blended family. And so one of our middle children just graduated from Central High School in St. Paul. Yeah. We have some older adult children who are off doing their own thing.
All right.
We have a 7-year-old together. And yeah, and we have a 1 daughter. So we have 4 sons and 1 daughter. Yeah, we're all just having a good time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And is there anything that you're kind of thinking about right now? Like, for example, I just watched K-pop Demon Hunters and I loved it. I'm obsessed with the music. It's a way that I'm connecting with my kid. And I gotta say, I'm checking out more like K-pop bands and things like that that I never expected. That's my little thing I'm thinking about right now. How about you?
Oh, yeah. Well, as for me, like I said, I'm keeping busy mainly with art, my art project. So what's on my mind right now is my series of a 13 moon gouache paintings that I'm working on. So I've been hashing those out and really, really enjoying the process. But that's on my mind right now. Right now, today, I worked on and finished 2 moon paintings, maybe 3. And right on my desk is Wojupili, which is planting moon. And so I'm working on that one. I'm probably going to be working on it when I'm done talking with you. So that's what is on my mind right now. Also, well, the only news that I could think of right now is my mural. It's at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities campus at the Child Development Lab School. It's on my website and there's a blog about it. Like, that's some news. Also, talking about music, lately I've been listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. My husband and I got to go see them in concert a couple years ago and listening to some audiobooks. I'm enjoying the weather, so yeah.
What are you listening to for audiobooks?
So I really try to branch out and listen to and read nonfiction. I should try to read more fiction, but I just can't. So I'm always listening to and reading nonfiction that is, you know, real and true stories and stuff like that. So I've been listening to books by the author Dolores Cannon. And she's a quantum hypnosis therapist. And so she wrote some books about the stories that she listened to from the people that she did some quantum hypnosis therapy with. So I've been listening to those and it's very interesting to me. It's metaphysical and it's about some super cool stuff. Aliens and star people and things like that.
Oh, I love that. I feel like I don't have enough time to think about that stuff. But when I do, it's nice to just imagine. Anyway, that's really neat. Well, let's talk a bit about you and kind of your work and how you contribute to the community. Do you have a highlight reel? What would you like to highlight over the course of your career?
Yeah, so I'm an artist. And I'm also an educator. I teach Dakota language, and I've been an educator, you know, for most of my career since I began, you know, college many years ago. So that's always there. It's my passion to revitalize Dakota language and to always speak it and always learn more and remember to keep up on it. Just never give up on it. So that's always there in my work, in my personal life as well. Around COVID time, I got into doing paintings, started doing some watercolors and some illustrations. There was a need for Dakota artists and Dakota illustrators. And, you know, someone asked me to do a logo for an event, a Dakota event. I have to give credit to my husband for that because he is also a language revitalizer, a Dakota language revitalization effort. And it was a Dakota event that was going on. And he said in the meeting, I am an artist. And then I was like, oh, right. That's true. I guess I am an artist because I never thought of myself as an artist, quote unquote. But I've always done art. You know, growing up, I loved to draw. In elementary, I was the kid that people really noticed my art and my drawings and would comment on it and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of grew out of doing drawings and everything. And I've always been doing sewing and beading and always been making my own regalia and doing beadwork for my regalia because my mom's an artist. And so she taught me how to make my first pair of moccasins. And ever since she taught me how to bead some moccasins, you know, back when I was a teenager and when I was a fancy dancer, she taught me how to make some. And then ever since then, I've been making beaded moccasins. I'm always working on a pair. And I don't know how many I've made so far, but there's always beaded moccasins in the works. Lately, there's always paintings going on. Every day I feel like I need to do some type of watercolor painting because it is so relaxing. You know, it just makes me feel complete for that day. I got to create something. So every time I do a painting or paint with watercolor, it just makes me feel like, you know, just really great. I love the colors, so I prefer to use paint rather than drawing, but I do need to practice doing some more drawings. So if there was a reel going on, it would be Dakota language mixed with watercolors and illustrations.
That's so cool. That's like the highlight reel, yeah.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, I'm speaking with Wo Kie Win, an artist and educator. She teaches the Dakota language for the Dakota Language Nest Preschool Program at the Institute of Child Development.
How would you describe your visual art then, your paintings? How could you describe them to somebody who can't necessarily see them while they're listening?
My subject of choice is plants and animals. Native plants and animals are what I prefer to draw and to paint. When I'm traveling, whatever I see, the local animals and plants there are very inspiring. So I'm always drawing plants and animals. Specifically, my favorite animal is birds. Any kind of birds are my favorite. I like a whimsical style, so it's not perfect. It's like go with the flow, not imperfect. Mm-hmm. It's not very realistic looking. But, you know, you can see what the subject matter is, you know, obviously. So I love working on paper. I prefer working on paper. I always have, you know, paper with me. And I always have my watercolors everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And I'm just looking at the Dakota Moon series now on your site. Mm-hmm. And I can see what you mean. It's almost like a little bit dreamy.
Yeah.
It's not super detailed, but you can like fill in the blanks with your imagination.
That's a good description.
And I love the, what is that, a pink moon with the strawberry and...
Oh, yeah. That one was done with acrylic ink. I was experimenting with some acrylic ink on that one, but that's what I do. I don't just stick to only watercolor. I do like to experiment once in a while. I'm making a new 13 Moon series right now, and I do like to use my handmade watercolors. Mm-hmm. The new series I'm working on now, the Strawberry Moon, is made with my handmade watercolors. The main color I make is a pink color, which is made from pipestone, earth pigment. So that's another thing that I would put in my reel is making my watercolors.
Hmm.
I have a lot of artists in my family. So my dad, he's a pipestone carving artist, and he makes pipes, and he has a pit where he pours from at pipestone. I kind of grew up, I have fond memories of being in pipestone as a child. You know, it takes a long time to get that stone out of there. So we would spend plenty of time there. But even these days, you know, my dad taught my sons and also my husband, he passed on his knowledge of pipestone carving.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of recent. And that's when I was getting into my watercolors. And there was all this pipestone dust there, kind of messy. But I was like, hey, this, I bet I could do something with this, you know, because otherwise it's like you could put it back, just give it back to the earth. but there was a lot of it. So I thought, well, I wonder if I could make paint with this. I YouTubed it and looked it up. That's how I kind of learned new art skills is YouTube and looking stuff up. But yeah, I looked up how to make watercolors and then I realized that I could totally make watercolors with this earth pigment. I've been doing that ever since like around 2020 when I started doing watercolors. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have like pipestone dust. And then how do you get pipestone dust from dust to a painting?
Right. That's a great question. So there's a process to extract the pigment from the dust, and that's the smallest particles of the dust. Because if you think of it like glitter, you have like super fine glitter and then you have like the big chunky glitter. That's the difference. You want to extract the smallest particles, pigments from the earth pigment. And so there's a process to that. Basically run it through a coffee filter and then mix it with water and kind of stir it up, and then the heavy pieces fall to the bottom and then the lightest pieces are up in the water kind of floating around. And so that's the ones I try to capture. So I pour it through a coffee filter and then it's on a coffee filter and I let it dry, and it's a very fine powder by then. And so that's how I make the watercolor. Watercolor is very eco-friendly, and I love that about it as well. That's the other thing I love about watercolor is, you know, it's friendly to the earth. The one I make is made with gum arabic, which is just a sap from a tree. I buy it at the art store, and I mix that with the earth pigment. I add a little bit of honey and a little bit of clove oil to have those anti-mildew, anti-mold properties to the watercolor. And then that's basically it. And it makes quite a bit. And watercolor, again, the other thing I love about it is it lasts so long. I can make so many paintings with just a small amount of watercolor. So.
Mm-hmm. So you have earth pigments and, you know, one of them being pipestone dust, I take it, for like a pinkish color.
Mm-hmm.
What other colors do you use with other materials?
I collected some ochre. At the time when I was collecting it, I didn't realize that that's what it's called. But I was down visiting some people in Alabama. And the earth there, like if you look around, it's a nice red color, like everywhere you look. And I was just like, wow, I wonder if I could make something with this really pretty color of earth. So I took a little bit home on the airplane, and then when it was in the suitcase going through the security, they stopped me because of my little clumps of earth, of clay that I had. It was kind of funny.
So it's kind of like, when I just looked it up here, kind of like a, I want to say like a yellow orange.
Yep, like a orange color, and then there's yellow ochre.
Mm-hmm.
Which I also collected from there. So there was two different colors, a yellow and an orange.
Okay, it says the color intensity varies based on the level of iron oxide and other materials present.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some ochre.
Yeah, so that's what they probably teach you whenever you take a class, but I just did it.
I just look at it. It looks good.
I just look at it. Oh, this looks like I could do something. So, yeah.
So pipestone, ochre. What do you use, like berries?
Yeah. So I've also experimented with making inks.
Anything?
Yeah. So I, one year, not this spring, but last spring, I went and collected some nettle.
Hmm.
If you collect nettles in the early springtime, you know that's the best time to use them for tea and making stir fry or soup with them and stuff like that, which I have done in the past. But this time I collected them specifically to make an ink out of them. And so to do that, I live in St. Paul, and I usually call down to the Fort Snelling State Park for when I need to harvest stuff and gather things, forage things. That's the word I'm looking for. So I went down there and I asked if I could get some nettle. And when I was planning it, some people were telling me, oh, why are you asking? I was like, well, I always ask. So I do. So I collected some from there and I brought it home, and basically you just boil it and the color goes into the water. And then I take out all the plant fibers and I have just the water, colored water. Then all I have to do is keep boiling it down and just boil it all the way down until it's like a very concentrated color, a very concentrated mix of, you know, a little bit of water and mostly whatever pigment is left in there. And then in order to make it user-friendly, then I added gum arabic again to that little bit of liquid that was left at the bottom of the pan. Yeah, and it was the ink, and I added some clove oil, even though I thought I needed some. So I was like, maybe I'll throw some clove oil in there. And I made some painting. I threw it in the fridge. Honestly, I didn't paint with it right away. I don't know why. It just wasn't calling to me until like 6 months later. I finally took it out the fridge, and I made a lot of nettle ink paintings with it. Yeah, experiment with that. And I also experiment with, you know, natural dyes, plant dyes, such as marigolds, you know, things that plant people who do, the artists who use natural dyes, they know all the plants already that are great for dyeing. And so I kind of looked that up online too. And so I've experimented with a lot of different plants, and I've come to find out that natural wool yarn takes on natural dyes like so nicely. And so I have a lot of naturally dyed yarn in my studio waiting to be used for something. I also like to dye paper because I just really love to work with paper. I dyed some paper with cedar water because when somebody has a cold or if they're not feeling well, if you boil cedar, the steam kind of helps to heal their sickness and stuff. So I was using that one time and I was steaming some cedar. And then what's left is like the water, and it's a beautiful amber type colored water that's left. And so what I did was I put my watercolor paper in there, and I put some other kind of paper, white paper in there, and it dyed to that kind of that color. So I have a lot of paper dyed with like cedar water. Yeah. And so I just experiment all the time with natural dyes. And So now I have like all of these materials, and for some reason I haven't used them because I'm just waiting for the right moment. I have a plan in my head on how I'm going to use all of my naturally dyed materials, which is going to be my next step after I take a break from probably watercolors and gouache and stuff. But I'm going to be working with mixed media, experimenting with, you know, mixing fiber art, fiber and paper and paint, acrylic and all that kind of stuff. So I have a vision for that, of a plan. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You shall manifest the plan. And it'll be amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
Well, that's really awesome. I'm glad we got to the behind the scenes there with your art, too.
Yep.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, I'm speaking with Wo Kie Win, an artist and educator. She teaches the Dakota language for the Dakota Language Nest Preschool Program at the Institute of Child Development. So you're an artist and educator with Revitalizing Dakota Language. Mm-hmm. Is there a bridge there between art and language for you?
Well, there's a huge need for Dakota illustrators. So that's kind of how I started illustrating. There's a huge need for Dakota language teaching materials. That's the other way, such as children's books. I have two children's books that I have illustrated, monolingual Dakota language books. That's usually the bridge. When I'm doing my art, the subjects are, in my mind, the Dakota name for them is always how I'm thinking about them when I do paint certain subjects. What I paint about is important. I want to, the more I learn about Dakota stories and culture, it's inspiring to paint. Recently learned more about the Dakota constellations. As an adult, you know, I'm learning a lot of things about my culture. One of them is the Dakota constellations. So that inspired me to create art about the Dakota constellations. And not only that, but teach others about it through art. I've done some workshops at MIA. I did a Dakota constellation watercolor project for one of their family nights. I made like little stencils of each constellation so that the kids and the families could easily make their own constellation and watercolor that, even write the name of it in Dakota under it. So I'm an educator, so I also teach people how to use watercolors or anything that I do. I usually go and teach other people about how I do watercolors. I know some people have asked about natural pigments and how to make watercolors from earth pigment. So when I do that, I incorporate Dakota language lessons along with my art lessons.
Yeah.
They're together. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, let me ask you, kind of as we were wrapping up our conversation, what keeps you motivated to do this work day in and day out? You know, when you wake up in the morning, sometimes I have to, you know, encourage myself a little bit, but then I remember amplifying Native voices. It's super like motivating. Mm-hmm. What is it for you?
Not every day I'm motivated to speak Dakota or do a painting. But every day, Dakota language slips out here and there. My husband and I, we both speak Dakota language with our youngest child as much as we can. Like my husband has only spoken Dakota language to our youngest one since he was born, since our youngest was born. And that was, you know, so.
Wow.
That's the motivator, is being around my youngest one. Is to speak Dakota, because when I speak English to him, I feel like, oh, I could be saying this in Dakota. And so I bet that's one of my motivators, is passing it along to the next generation, you know, especially my own child. There's that for every day. And then, you know, like, I mean, some days I don't do watercolors, but almost every day I do use my journal. The motivation is that it doesn't have to look great. It doesn't have to be something. It's just putting paint on paper. And that's fine, you know? That's the other thing, that it doesn't have to be perfect. Hmm. And I don't have to show anybody my art piece if I don't want to. Is the other thing too, so... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And thank you for sharing your gifts. It's just so fun to, you know, talk to somebody who's creating, and it just makes the world a bit more beautiful every day. So I appreciate that.
Oh, you're so welcome. I really appreciate you talking with me. I'm so happy to share about art and Dakota language.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Wokia Win, what a great conversation. Is there anything that you got into during the COVID era? Like Wokia, you got into painting and watercolors and illustrations. I did some painting too. Gosh, what a great way to spend the time. And I didn't really keep it up. I've painted a couple rooms in my house, but I think she really inspired me to maybe pick up a paintbrush and smoosh a couple paints around on the canvas here. It's just such a lovely way to pass the time and make something physical out of your imagination. How about that? So, Jimmy Gwech, Wokie Win, thank you for taking time to chat with Native Lights today. I'm Leah Lem. Miigwech for listening. Gigawapamin. You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine.
Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and